for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 2nd, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on By the Power of God.
Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning by the power of God. Let's call this by the power of God. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Lord, thank you that there's no fear in all of this. That whatever's coming, Lord, there's no fear, because you told us not to fear. And rather, Lord, you said when these things begin to happen, look up. Your redemption draws nigh, praise God. So, Lord, let us rejoice. Praise God. This is what we've been working for. This is what, Lord, we've been serving you for, is the promise of your return and our going to be with you. Praise God, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, bless every heart in here. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon us and anoint us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God. God made this decision. No one asked him to. No one called out to God. This is what God did. It's one thing what we do, what we ask for. It's another thing when God does something. Sent from God. And this was all prearranged. This was all decided way before the foundations of the world. I don't know if Mary could have, and I don't believe she did, understand the significance of this. And so many times in our own lives, we don't understand the significance of what God is saying to us, or what He's doing in our life at that time. How many times in your life you look back to days that you didn't know, realize the significance of that day, but your mind keeps going back to that day. And it's just etched in your memory, that day. That's why we should live every day today. Don't be living tomorrow, don't be living in the past today, because this, you don't know what this day will be. The Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Highly favored, praise God. Highly favored. Do you feel like you're highly favored this morning? Well, I don't know. This is happening, that's happening. I don't know. Highly favored. Don't contradict what God says. Okay? We have to be careful about cursing our days. Cursing things. James says, how can both cursings and blessings proceed out of the same fountain, or out of the same mouth. And often we curse things, but perhaps we're not realizing. I had trouble for months with my left shoulder and my arm. And I did not realize I was cursing my arm. I didn't say cussing, I said cursing, you know. And all of this hurts and all, and I'm just, and all, and this. And the Lord showed me to start blessing my arm. Start blessing my arm. You know, when Jesus fed the thousands, he blessed that bread and those food. He blessed them and it broke them. And what happened? Because he blessed them, what happened? It fed thousands. Those few loaves and fishes, because he blessed them. The disciples over there cursing the whole thing. Oh, what are we going to do? There's not enough. You know, there's too many. We couldn't buy enough to feed these. Do you understand?
Yeah.
They're over there cursing the whole thing, and the Lord's blessing what they have. And it feeds the thousands. And if you'd start blessing some, bless that old car you drive. Bless that old house you live in. Bless your family. Bless your husband and wife. Bless your church instead of cursing your church. What do I mean cursing? Oh, I don't like what they're doing. They're doing this. They sing too fast. They sing too slow. It's too cold in there. It's too hot. You know, your pastor. Cursing your pastor. Cursing is not cussing necessarily. You understand that. It's just speaking evil of or complaining about. And so quit complaining about things and start blessing them and see if things will turn around for you. My shoulder's so much better. Praise God. Bless it. Hallelujah. Quit kicking it. Quit. You know, quit all this stuff you're doing. Start blessing it. Well, you're highly favored. And the Lord is with you. All that means everything, doesn't it? The Lord is with you. It means all the difference in the world. You know when the Pharaoh was chasing the children of Israel into the Red Sea? He thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Wrong. But he chases them into the Red Sea. Deliverance is for God's people. Alright? This is deliverance. He's for the children of Israel. They didn't know what they were going to do. In fact, they were cursing the whole thing. It's unfortunate that they didn't bless until they got on the other side. But anyway, you know, we like that. And so Pharaoh is taking his army there chasing them. And the scripture says that God began to take their chariot wheels off. That's good, isn't it? You know God will take your enemy's chariot wheels off? That's right. And so they began to say, God's with the Hebrews against, and he's not with us. He's with them. And they turn around trying to get out of there. But God had it. It was a setup, you know. I know the devil sets up things for us, and it's painful. But you know God set some things up too. It was a setup, but there was a setup. B.H. Clinton, it says, God draws the enemy all the way out so he can cut him off. That's scary, isn't it? All the way out. He drew that army all the way into the bottom of that Red Sea so he could what? Cut him off. We just want the nose to stick out. God, you cut the nose off. No, he's going to deal with the whole thing. He's going to fix it. If you just remember when the king of Israel, Elisha, said, take these arrows and strike them on the floor. And he took them and did it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry and said, why did you keep doing it? Or you would have really opened down. You just a few times, but you would have totally destroyed them. And see that we just a little bit, you know. And if God wants to go all the way with this thing, he is. Sometimes I heard someone say this the other day, don't remember who it was. They prayed for some God to deliver them, but they forgot to say, don't let him come back. You know, cut him all the way off. Don't let him come back. Don't let the enemy, the devil, come back. So he's with you. Blessed are you among women. It's awfully good to walk in the blessings of God. Even though the devil does things against you, you're blessed, and it's not going to work. It's not going to stick. And God will bring glory out of it because we're blessed. Hallelujah. You know, Balaam tried to curse the people of God, and he couldn't because God had blessed them. And he couldn't do it. I personally am not too worried about what the devil's doing. Why don't I want to worry about what the devil's doing? And I don't want to talk about him that much. I don't want to think about him that much. I don't need to. I'm blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed. Now, there are times you got to address the devil and you got to tell him where his place is. And but, you know, let's don't major on the negative. Major on God. Speak the blessings. Praise God. Scripture says that by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph leaning upon his staff. By faith, he blessed them. Parents cursing their kids. You just can't do anything right. You haven't got sense. God gave a goose. Do I need to draw you a picture? What's wrong with you? You know, why couldn't you be like your brother, your sister? Just curse them instead of bless them. Then wonder why they end up like they do. Well, you curse them. Father, it's very important that you bless your children. I don't care if you're 80 and they're 60. Bless them, praise God, because they still need it. You're around for some reason. Could be that God wants you to bless your 60-year-old child. I don't have any 60-year-old, but anyway. You know, I'm just saying when you get there. When they do wrong, bless them, praise God. Well, they need punishing. No blessing, praise God. We go into the jails and prisons, and that whole system is a system to curse those men. That's what it is. And then they wonder why they keep coming back and keep coming back. So like an 80% of repeat, you know. Why? Because they're cursing them in there. I see them in there. Some of those guards feel like they're calling God to punish those men. You know, just yell at them, belittle them, humiliate them. And this is another subject. And when she saw him, oh, thank God she could see. She was troubled at his saying. She was troubled at his... Like with Jesus, when he came walking across the water, you know, he had sent the disciples away, and he sent the multitude away, and he went up and prayed. And said while he's praying, he saw them in the Sea of Galilee having a struggle against the waves. Now, how do you see that? He had a binocular or something. He had a telescope. No, he saw it in the Spirit. You can see things in the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing when you can see what you can't see. Hear what you can't hear. He saw that. And I said, when even was come, he saw that. But he didn't go to them to the fourth watch of the night. Why did you do that, Lord? Isn't that kind of mean of you? But you know, he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. And he never said anything he didn't hear the Father say. It's like Lazarus, when he got word, come and pray for him, he's sick, he purposely stayed until Lazarus was good and dead. Then he went. And he said, God, why did you let this thing die? Why did you let this happen? Because God's going to get the greater glory, that's why. I mean, he's going to get the greater glory. Do you think which is greater, to go heal the man or go raise him from the dead? Which is the greater glory? And don't be afraid of some things dying, because God can resurrect them. And we draw lines. See, they drew a line about Lazarus. The two sisters did. They said, well, Lord, if you'd have come before he died, you know, you'd have come and he wouldn't have died. See, they drew a line. And in their mind, the line was death. And if death comes, it's over with. There's nothing can happen. And Jesus tried to explain to them, quit drawing lines. I was pastoring the first church I did, and there's the mother of the church, I've told this. I was sitting in her house one time, and I had a vision of her as an evil queen on her throne, sitting there in her recliner. I said, oh my, you the devil, you old devil, get out. It wasn't the devil. It was God warning me. And that woman single-handedly tore that church apart. And she was stopping people from coming. And there was this family, had six kids there, right by the church. And I said to myself, if she stops him from coming, that'll be the straw that breaks the camel's back. See, I drew a line. What do you think she did? The next day. Don't be drawing those lines. Praise God. Believe God can go past and beyond all that. But when he's walking, he came to them, and he's walking on the sea. And they saw him, and they were troubled. How many times in the Scripture, when God's answered a prayer, people get all scared and troubled, you know? Because he's not doing it the way they thought he should do it. Do you know when he went in? He made as if he was going, and he would have gone on, the Scripture said. But they cried out. And I'll tell you what, he'll pass you right by if you don't cry out. The two men on the road to Emmaus, he made as if he would go on, but they constrained him to come to the house. And by doing that, their eyes were open. They knew it was him. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Constrain him. He will, listen to this word, he will go on if you don't constrain him. He'll leave you sitting there in your pile of mess if you don't constrain him. It's up to us. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. He's not chasing us down with a butterfly net and hog-tying us. Go after God and he'll come. Praise God. Well, I just don't know why God's not doing this or that. Well, are you going after him? So he made as if he would go on, and they cried out. What happened when he stepped in that boat? The storm's over with. If you just get him in your boat, praise God. Just get him in your car, your ship, your house, whatever. If you get him in there, it's over with, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Victory's there. Victory's there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Get in our boat. We want you in our boat. Lord, this stuff in our boat we don't want you to see, have us throw it overboard and get you in there, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. That's why some people don't want him in their boat. They got junk in there, you know, that's not right. Praise God. God talked to us this morning about getting right. Want God to bless us. and things are not right. Well, you know, God's not a fool, is he? And so he has requirements. And so she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What does this mean? You know, Scripture says she pondered in her heart, pondered in her heart. You realize that Mary and her other children, Jesus' half-siblings, whatever you call them, they didn't believe on him until after he was resurrected. You understand that? They came they thought he lost his mind. And they came and to take him away, you know, we want to give you some rest, try to nurse you back to health, mental health, you know. They came and they said, well, your mother and your brethren are out there. They said, well, who is my mother and brother? It's these that do the will of God. That's who my mother and brother are. Are you his brethren? Are you his sisters this morning? Are you, if you're doing the will of God? Another time, the disciples, it was time for the feast at Jerusalem. The disciples said, well, go up and show yourself. Show your miracles. If you are what you go, they didn't believe in him. The Scripture says plainly there, they did not believe in him. And so they said, go show. And he said, no, I'm not, it's not my time, but you can go anytime. That's terrible. I tell you, if you can go do what you want to do when you want to do it, that's a terrible situation to be. If you realize that, well, I just can't do what I want to. Praise God, you can. Praise God. The Lord gave a word in our church the other day that it's not because you can't, it's because he won't let you. But constrained by the Spirit of God. And so he said, I can't go. That's not my time. See, he's led by the Spirit. They're led by the flesh. You understand that? That's the difference. If you can just go do what you want to do, that's not good. Every man did what was right in his own sight. But Jesus said, I have to wait till the Spirit tells me to go. Oh, they're up there. You need to get up there. You know, you need to go show what you can do. No, I have to wait until the Spirit tells me to go. And then when the Spirit did, he went. Now, what manner of salutation this should be? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did he find grace? Now, if you go by this grace, the unmerited favor of God, that's wrong, folks. You hear what I'm saying? If grace is unmerited favor of God, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, then why was anybody drowned? It's unmerited. There was a distinction. There was something different about Noah and the rest of those people. The whole rest of the world. There was a difference. What was it? Said he was a righteous man. He was a preacher of righteousness. He did what was right. In other words, if you look at this, he earned that grace. But unmerited favor, you don't earn it. God just gives it to you. Go ahead and do what you want to do. You know what it's about, don't you? It's a support system for unconditional eternal security. That's what that is. Don't buy into that. Didn't come. That's a new thing come along, unmerited favor. Oh, I just have the favor of God whether I'm merited or not. Well, there's some people in this book that merited it. Mary merited it because she was a righteous young lady. That's why she found favor or grace with God. That unmerited favor is a lie. It's telling people, go ahead and live like you want to. You're still going to get everything you want. No, you're not. Praise God. I don't have time to go into that more, but found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth the Son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. You know, we think that's coming, and it is coming, but it's here now, too. It's here now. He said he'll reign over the kingdom. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm in his kingdom. Are you in his kingdom? Are you in his kingdom this morning? He's reigning over that kingdom. He said the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You cannot see his kingdom. It's in the hearts of men and women and young people, boys and girls, that are right with him. Praise God. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, she's asking this question But it's not out of unbelief. Just before that, you see Zacharias ask a similar thing, but it was out of unbelief. And the angel said, do you know who I am, buddy? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. You're questioning me? Okay, you don't talk till the child's born. Not so with Mary. She's just asking how. He's saying basically, I don't believe. We're old. He said that. We're old. And the angel answered and said, and this is what I want you to hear particularly right now. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing, O praise God, which shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God. Praise God. How is this going to happen? We're talking about by the power of God. How is this going to happen? By the power of God. You know what? We need to quit trying to do things ourselves. Learn our little formulas and how we say it, and reading all the books we can find tell us how to, and listening to the CDs and watching the videos of how to do it. Look, it's by the power of God. Can I tell you that this morning? It's by the power of God. Do all the formulas, all the stuff we're going to do. Well, I saw, you know, that's what the seven sons of Sceva, they saw Paul doing something. They saw him casting out devils, so they thought, well, we'll do that too. So they did it like he did it, but it didn't work. And they ran out. Now, actually, there's another problem there. It said they took it upon themselves to do it. They weren't led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wasn't intending for that man to be delivered. Did you know that not everyone is intended by God to be delivered? I know that sounds harsh, but there's such things as reprobates. You know that? And there's not going to be any deliverance for them. And we're wasting our time. And may God help us when we're dealing with someone about deliverance. May God help us to know what God wants to do about it. Just because they come and say they won't deliver us doesn't mean that God wants to deliver them. God's not, this is kind of crude, but God's not messing with everybody. You know what? He's not dealing with everybody. In chastening, he said, if those he loves, he chastens. And every son he receives, he scourges, means he beats them. Hebrews 12. He's not dealing with the neighbor's kids, meaning the devil's kids. He's only dealing with his. And so we just have to know what is God saying. And if they come to you and you don't, they don't think you're rude. Well, I'd rather they think I'm rude than for me to go beyond what God is doing. You get in trouble when you go beyond what God's doing. I mean, you might get beat up and run out of the house naked and bleed, all seven of them, because, you know, God wasn't in that. But they saw and they thought they could do. But the thing that, what were they missing? First thing they were missing was the direction or the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second thing they're missing is the power of God, because they didn't have it. Why didn't they have it? That devil and that man said, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Come ask yourself this morning, who am I? You know, and meaning, who do I belong to? Whose authority? When the leader of the centurion wanted Jesus to come and heal his servant, and Jesus said, I'll come. He said, oh, you don't need to come. He said, I understand authority. He said, I'm under authority. Because I'm under authority, then when I speak, all the men under me, under my authority, do what I tell them. I tell them to go, they go, come, they come. They know I'm under authority. They know they have to obey me because I'm under authority, and they fear the authority I'm under. Therefore, I have authority because I'm under authority. And these seven sons of Sceva weren't under authority. They were doing something on their own. And if we're not under his authority, the devil doesn't have to obey us. And he won't. I don't know why they weren't healed. I don't know why they weren't delivered. Well, were you under the authority when you're doing this? You have to keep your life clean. You have to keep your heart pure. Praise God. Listen, if the devil doesn't, let me say this. The devil only knows the ones that God knows. The scripture says he knows his own, right? He knows who is his. And so if God doesn't know us, then the devil doesn't know us. And that means we're a nothing. We're a non-entity. What are we, baby? We're just a dog. That's horrible, maybe sounding, but what Jesus tell that woman came to him? She wasn't of the household of Israel, the people of God, and he said, we don't cast our bread to the dogs. The healing's for the children of God, not for your dog, woman. Well, I don't like that. Well, it is what it is. People aren't going to like it when the Lord tells them bind them hand and foot and cast them in the lake of fire. They're not going to like that either. Too bad. You know, you had your chance. God's not sending anybody to hell that didn't have an opportunity. I want to tell you that. When Noah preached, he's the most successful preacher that ever lived because everyone he didn't save, he condemned. They either own the boat or they're condemned. That's the way that's what we should be. Seriously now. That's what we should be. When you minister and someone doesn't receive, if they don't receive, let me say it this way. There are churches that people in the church can come against the pastor of the church board and it doesn't mean a thing to God. Why? Because he's not there. It's not his church. They're not his people. They're doing something out there on their own. It's not even around there. They can crucify if they want to. It doesn't make no difference to God. But there are some anointed people. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Then they get in trouble. But if they're not anointed, I'm not saying go do it, but if they're not, they just bicker fuss all the time. There's a certain denominational church down the road from us. They're not going to tell you who. But I tell you what, it was a show just to go to their business meetings. They had one every month, whether they needed it or not, you know. They had one, and oh man, this is terrible the way they attacked each other and attacked the pastor. Oh, I thought they was going to get the fist fight. Really? One time my parents lived down in this one of those denominational churches there. I'm not saying they only once, but just having their, I didn't know what they were doing. I just went to visit. We was there on vacation, went in there and just having their business meeting. And you never saw such a power play in your life. The old people against the young. And the old people, they get up, walk out, we're going to leave this church. There goes the money. We better back down, you know. I'm sorry, I'm getting way off. Okay, praise God. Now, the power of the high shall overshadow you. It took the power of God. It took the power of God for Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Now, where does the power come? By the Holy Spirit. You read all that right here. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what comes? Power. And that's how this child is going to be conceived in your womb, by the power of God. By the power of God. We're not going to accomplish anything except by the power of God. That's like leaving home without your wallet. Your cards, your cell phone, or whatever. It's like that. No power. It's like running out of gas. You understand what I'm saying? Power. Nothing's going to happen without the power of God. And by the way, God's not dispensing His power in places that we go that He didn't tell us to go. Dealing with things He didn't tell us to deal with. It's very important. There's two things. Be led by His Spirit and go in His power. Now, so, by the power. Now, you read in John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Right? Can't be saved without the power of God. I don't care how many prayers you repeat, cards you sign, professions you make, anybody makes. I don't mean to say you all the time, us. It doesn't matter. Because if the power of God is not in it, if the power is not, you're not going to become a child of God. We will not become a child of God without the power operating. Now, I know some of the modern translations say authority. Well, authority may be, you know, that's okay. But you can have all the authority in the world and get nothing done unless you've got power. And that's what that man was saying to Jesus. I understand authority. You speak, it's going to happen. You're under authority of the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. No one, we can have 1,000 people come and sign our cards. 1,000 people have whatever number you want to name. We can have them on our church rolls. They can be deacons. They can sing in the choir. They can preach behind the pulpit. But unless the power of God has been operating in them, they're not a child of God. They're not born of the Spirit. They're not born again. They can act religious. Brother Clinton has said, just teaching terrorists how to act like Christians. That's all, just teaching terrorists. Why? So you can count their noses and collect their money. You know, trying to be as big as you can be. God's really been dealing with me about how we need to be standing under the radar. My wife, Deb, and I were in Wisconsin, and we went to this church, and they'd been in that building 26 years or 23 years, I don't remember exactly, but they were talking about raising money to build a new church. They want to get out there and be, where most, if they got the money, where are they going to be? You're going to be on the number one intersection in the city with the biggest thing they can build, the fanciest. I mean, in Dallas, there's a what they call Central Expressway 75, the oldest expressway in Texas. And they can't make it any bigger. I mean, they just can't do it. And but you go down through there and you see these big old steeples sticking up for miles. You know, that's not exactly under the radar. You know, that's not exactly hidden. I want to just say something to you. Stay hidden. He said, what you do in your closet, you go to your closet and shut the door. He'll reward you openly. He said, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. If you read over the ministry of Christ, he did everything he could do in these four Gospels to stay hidden. He did. He never called the TV crew to come out there and document this and put it on there. He said, don't you tell anybody what I did. Why? I'm going to try to do it by the power of this world instead of by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay hidden. And the day's going to come in this nation, you'll be better off if you're hidden. You know? The ones with the big steeples, they're going to go to first. Praise God. Stay hidden. But we need to win all we can to Jesus. Oh, really? Our church is not very large, but one time is not large at all. One time the Lord told me we had the biggest church in the area. I said, what? But God doesn't count like we count. You understand that? They could be running thousands and maybe a handful at the most be saved in that place. I mean, be children of God. I'm not saying that out of, you know, excusing the difference in numbers. I'm not saying that. Now, so it takes the power of God to be born again. The power of God was necessary for Jesus to be born, conceived in Mary's womb. It takes the power of God for Jesus to be conceived in you. You understand? He cannot be conceived in us unless by the power of God. Now, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Now, we're going to skip here the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. But you understand what happened, how that Jesus went. Well, I'll just read a little of it here. Verse 29, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. That's just beautiful. You ever thought about how you need to open heaven? In John chapter 1, he talked, but he said, hereafter you're going to see heaven open. Do you have an open heaven? When people don't have an open heaven, they have to do all this other stuff. We were in West Palm Beach, and my wife took me to a church, mega church there. We walked into the children's department. You have thought you was in Disney World. Oh my goodness. I mean, this is awesome. But if, you know, if our church had a $14 million budget, we might have had Disney World for the kids too. I mean, this is fabulous. It was fabulous anyway. So, the heaven was open. You don't want to be somewhere where the heaven's not open over that place. Don't go, I'm just telling you, unless God tells you to be there, and maybe you can help get heaven open. But what are you doing sitting in a place where the heaven's not open to it? Why are you there? Why anything if heaven's not open over it? Run from it. For your life, run from it if heaven's not open over it. So the heaven's open. Jesus was praying. That might have something to do with heaven's being open. You know that. And the Holy Ghost. Oh, here he comes. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, from that moment on, we see Jesus totally different from the say 10 minutes before he came up out of that water. Right? Now, when he in the other gospel, when Jesus came, John said, "No, I need to be baptized in you. I have the sin. You don't have the sin." But Jesus said we have to fulfill all righteousness. We have to be in obedience. Obedience is so big in this. I said obedience is so big in this. Don't be trying to do things your way. That's not called obedience. So, heaven's open and Jesus becomes a different person, so to speak. You say, oh no, no. Read Philippians chapter 2. He did not see equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and came in the form of a servant, a man. He can no more do a miracle up to this point when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He cannot do, in fact, I'll show you something in a minute, in chapter 4, no miracle until this happened. No miracles. All right, so the Holy Spirit comes upon him. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they became what? Different people. They're totally different from what they were. They're bold now. In fact, when they were threatening, they were concerned about losing that boldness. They prayed, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. They were filled again. The place was shaken where they were sitting. It all has to do with the power of the Holy Ghost. If you can, whatever you're doing in your home, in ministry, finances, if you can get the Holy Ghost there, it's going to work and it's going to be good and it's going to be successful. But when we're stupid and trying to do it ourselves, I mean, Walmart can get a crowd, folks. You can do stuff like this with marketing skills. But we don't want that, do we? All right, chapter 4. Verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Well, how did he get full of the Holy Ghost? Back there in that Jordan River when he come up out of that water. He said he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. What did Jesus do? He obeyed and submitted himself, humbled himself, submitted himself to water baptism. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached, and they said, "What must we do?" They're pricked in their hearts. "What must we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Some think he said, "Come sign our card. Repeat this prayer. Make this profession." That's not what he said. He didn't use the word saved. No, he didn't. He said, "Repent, be baptized." That's obedience, right? Show your repentance by your obedience, and you'll receive what? He did not say you'll receive eternal life. He did not say you'll get saved. You're going to heaven now. Your name's written down. You got your card. You know, your hellfire insurance card. He didn't say that. He said, what? What's the most, of all the things the Holy Spirit could have had him say, you'll receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. Do we preach it that way? We've separated this thing. We've separated, I don't know that we have, but it's been, the church in general has done this, made a separation here. You know, you can have this over here, you don't have to have this. But you do have to have this. I mean the Holy Ghost. Of course, there's some teach you get all the Holy Ghost you'll ever get when you get saved. Oh, really? Well, let's all go sign a card, a decision card, so they can tell how many decisions they had. And that's going to get us, no, it's not. Okay, well, now, he's full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So, two things we see here. He's full of the Holy Ghost, and he's led by the Spirit. Full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Spirit. You have to have those in your daily life, much less in ministry. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the temptations, I'm not going to give all three of them, but skip down to verse 5. The second one here. Now, in other Gospels, there the second and third are switched sometimes. And the devil. Who? The devil. The devil has no fear or respect here. He's going to see if he can destroy the Son of God. Taking him up. Now, let me say, some lesser devils, when Jesus shows up, like in Mark, first chapter, there's that man sitting in there that's demon-possessed, and he speaks out, makes a scene in their church. Oh, they don't like that, but he made a scene. And he said, we know who you are. You didn't have to have a demon detector. I've heard people say, smell the breath, look in their eyes, you know. You don't have to do any of that. You got what you got, they'll speak up. That's right. Well, the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil has power. And the devil said unto Jesus, all this power will I give you, and the glory are the expression of them. Not this power where you can set it up on your mantle and look at it, but I will give you power. And the glory, you can use the power. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, he's not offering him his power. He's offering the power of the world. This is a temptation, folks. It is a temptation that every one of us face to try to do something in the power of this world. Through the methods of this world. Reading their books. You know, we've got all this coming into the church. Now, leadership. Oh, that's such a big thing. John Maxwell and all his leadership. You know what? They're trying to make everybody the leader. Well, after a while, you've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. You know, everybody a leader. And that has fostered such a... If there wasn't enough pride in churches, now there's really, I am a leader. I am a minister. You know, who told you were? Leave that alone. Now, the power, he is offered the power, if you will worship me, all shall be yours. Jesus, I'm offering you power. Now let me tell you, back up, he's never, ever used power before. Jesus up to this point has never done anything that you and I couldn't do without the power. There's no power. He has got to have power, right? You and I have got, we know these things don't come out. I mean, these things don't happen just, you got to get power somewhere. And because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, they're getting it, they're following the world. Entertainment, motivational speeches, children's departments that look like Disney World. You know, what's that? They're smart. They bring their kids and they put it on TV and show up. Daddy, I want to go there. They know what they're doing. We used to have ice cream Sunday, hot dog Sunday, you know, come and all this. It's the same thing, just repackaged. They know how much money you've got. And Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You end up worshiping your source of power. You know that. Because that's what got you where you're at. Now, skip down the last, we'll skip that next one and come go down to 14. And Jesus, now, they're ended. verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You know this. He's coming back, okay? You and me too. And what happens then? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And that's not a bad thing there, that he's glorified of all. The devil tried to short circuit this thing, to cut Jesus off. He does it with us. I'm offering you this power. But Jesus refused, and because he refused, what power is he going in here? The power of the Spirit. What power are we trying to go in everything we do? Our intellect, our education, our life experiences, our charisma, our good looks, if you got any, you know, your connections. I'm not stupid. I know some, I'm the denomination I belong to. If your daddy's so-and-so, you can get a bigger church. I know what that is. You know, it works everywhere. Politics is everywhere. You might even get to be the superintendent if your daddy's so-and-so. I don't, because they're not strangers, okay. In the jail we're in, we went in there and started at the bottom. We just come in and sit. There's a lady that has a big ministry in Florida. And she had 47 felonies, and her husband was assessed 550 years in prison. Well, he got saved, she got saved, and now they're out. And so they got a big ministry going that's supported by taxpayers' money. And they come to our county from Florida because he's from that county. And now listen, we started at the bottom. She goes to the county judge, which is starting at the top. Pretty smart, huh? I don't know why I didn't think to do that. I know him, but I didn't. She goes there, and he's impressed because he's the one that sentenced her husband to 550 years. And so then it works its way down. Then you go to the sheriff, then the jail administrator, and they got their own night and everything, you know. It's just, I'm going to tell you, it's not by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're there, and every time me and another brother, he's moved to Austin now, but me and the other brother sitting there, and we walk out there and say, "Wow, come on, coming back." Because we had to listen to a bunch of stuff that is not right, okay? And then tell about how Jesus suffered, and they beat his head on the thorns, and they whipped him in the blood. And don't you feel sorry for Jesus, and he died for you. Now, don't you want to give your heart to him? You know, feel sorry for him. I tell you what, he's not dead, he's alive. They're preaching, teaching a dead Jesus. Well, he's alive. What they need to see is the power of God. That's what they need to see, is the power of God working there. But now, see, the Lord blessed, and we have our own night. But we didn't even go to the county judge to get it. The power of the Spirit. Then look, verse 18. Jesus stands up to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Because to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, there's so many broken hearts. To preach deliverance to the captives. That's everywhere. Their captives are everywhere. You don't have to go looking for them. They're in front of your face. They're everywhere. And recovering the sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. We're living in a bruised world. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How is this all going to happen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon us and we're anointed. Praise God. I want to give you something, examples. And I don't mean to be, they weren't not all, but I just need, this is the way, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, I just put this so I can remember. There's a young man, and we were there, and this is before we were in charge of an all-night. And some of those guys that come in there to preach, they preach down to them, and they're very disrespectful, and it's just not good. They don't need it. And we try to be respectful. I suppose I have to shake their hands and say, "How are you, sir, tonight? Sir." And this one young man, I shook his hand and said, "His name is Travis." I turned around, walked to someone else, and the Lord said, "Turn around back around and pray for him." So I turned around and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And I took his hand. He's looking around, "Oh, who's seeing this?" You know. But I closed my eyes and he's standing this straight and everything. And I began to pray for him. The Lord had a word for him. He said, "You're scared, you're frightened, you're terrified." Just a few words. It doesn't take a whole book, you know. It's a word. A word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And I opened my eyes and he's shaking like a leaf. Why? Because the Lord exposed him. For his good, you know. For his good. He looked and he said, "How did you know that?" I said, "I didn't know it, but the Holy Ghost knows it. God knows it. And he wants you to know he wants to help you." Never saw him again. Daniel, our assistant pastor, and this is just a couple of weeks ago, we go around and lay hands on pray for him. I mean, the Holy Ghost is not going to come in there. You're not going to, I don't care how many baptisms they have and all this kind of thing. You know what? There's a religious system in the prisons. They're signing people up, and that's why it's only religion. And when they walk out, they're tossing those Bibles in the barrel, the trash barrel. Because all they got was religion. Or they wanted to look good to the parole officer. But Daniel laid his hands on and prayed, and there's no screaming and hollering and no falling out in the floor or anything. This, you know. Well, I went to visit this man because he asked for a visit. And the first thing he wants to tell me, he said, "Well, Daniel laid his hands on me. He gave me, he told me, he said, the Lord wants to lift a heavy burden off of you." He said, "Immediately, whatever came off of me." He said, "I've been trying to get back to God. I used to walk with God. But," he said, "immediately it came off of me." And he said, "I've been different ever since." He was so excited. He said, "Not only that, I was praying I'd make trustee, and I made trustee." You know what that's called, folks? It's called deliverance. It is. Deborah, my wife, she goes where the ladies are. And she prayed for this lady that God would give her peace. The next time she went in, this woman runs over to her and says, "Ever since you prayed for me, I've got peace and I still have peace." You know what that's called? It's called deliverance. There's a little thrift store flea market thing that I've been stopping at for a long time. And so now, Deborah stops with me, you know, and I'm teaching her new things. Thrift stores. So we went in there, and this lady's been telling me, "Every time you come here, when you leave, I feel better." But we felt impressed to pray for her. And so we laid our hands on, prayed for her. When we finished, she's weeping. And she said, "When you prayed for me, something went through me. Something went through me, praise God." It's deliverance, folks. There's another young man named Jerry. He's been in that jail longer than anybody by now. And the first time I prayed for him, I laid hands on prayed for him. And when I got through, he looked up and said, "You got energy." What do you mean? Well, you know, that's the only way he knew to say it. He'd never been to church. He didn't know anything about church. He just knew somebody had energy. And I explained to him it's the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. The other day I was talking to him on a visit. He said, "You know what? Ever since that night," he said, "it was hard for me to break down in front of those guys and cry, but," he said, "I couldn't help it." But he said, "I've been different ever since." Before that, he had anger and bitterness. He nobody could talk to him. He wouldn't talk to anybody. He's always smiling because God touched him. What is that called? It's called deliverance, praise God. Hallelujah. There's a last Sunday night during church, I noticed this woman walk in. I never saw her before. She looked Chinese, which I bet that she was. And she sat down on the back pew for a little while, and then she got up and went out. Well, I saw my son. My son had to go to work. He came for the part he could. He's an x-ray technician. He had to go to work, and I saw him out there talking. So Deborah was speaking, so I went out and talked to her. And she starts telling me, she said, I don't know what is in your church, but I felt peace in your church. I had to sit down a little while. Said, I felt peace. They're looking for address. They're trying to buy a property to get out of the Dallas area. It's amazing how many people are trying to get out. I don't know, but they are. And she looked at her husband. She said, you got to buy property near this church because I felt peace in there. And I don't want to come to this church because I felt peace in there. Praise God. It's deliverance, folks. Whether it's the presence of God or a word, you know, from the Lord, whether it's the power of God transferred to someone. When we were in Miami a few weeks ago, and we had lunch with a friend of my wife's, a pediatrician. He's a Catholic. And I prayed for him and looked up and he's weeping. And God touched him. My wife's very good friends have said he never saw him weep before. He's one of these guys who's got all his ducks in a row, drives a BMW or something. Used to drive a Bentley. I looked at Bentleys. Well, then we went to West Palm Beach and we were meeting a street minister there that goes out and he ministers, been doing a long time, and there was another lady that came. And prayed for her. God gave her word. And she was visibly moved and touched. And she texts back and said, how do you know that? Well, we don't know, but God knows. Let me tell you something. There is ministry beyond our imaginations. If the power of God, if we'll be full of the Holy Ghost, baptized first in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, going to fire the Spirit. If the Holy Ghost is upon us, anointing us, it's awesome what God can do. Amen? It's awesome what God can do. But I want to say this to you. The Lord said, get things right. Get things right, praise God. Amen? You may have think you've got, I may think, I've been there a lot of times. I got everything right today. Something happens and something went wrong. I don't have something right. I got it wrong. I need to repent. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sister Jenny. Hallelujah. Well, this is on my heart. And, she's gone. I know the rapture took place and Jane's gone. We're still here. There she is. There's hope for us. I'm just pleased. No, I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus. My kids have told me, one of them particularly came home and we were off. My wife, my late wife, and I were gone. And they got all worried. Uh-oh. The Lord came and I'm well. That's good sometimes. They need to get shook up a little bit, don't they? Praise God. He hideth my soul.
Let's see.
Let's worship the Lord. Praise God. It's not entertainment, folks. Praise God.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. Hey.
the table this morning, the devil's telling someone that you're useless, and you have no value. But he's a liar. Because Jesus loves you. You know, our value is determined by who buys us or what they pay for us. And Jesus gave his life for us. We are very, very valuable. No greater price can be paid for you than he paid. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us, praise God. You may be battered and beaten and worn and discouraged and afraid. But I want you to know this morning that your God loves you. And he's touched with the pins of your infirmity, your weaknesses. He bears your burdens. Praise God. He bears your sorrows. No one loves you like Jesus. And no one can do for you what Jesus can do for you. No one does. Thank God for friends or whoever God knows, lawyers that can give God sends us there. But no one can do for you what Jesus can do for you. Praise God. We'll give you an opportunity to come this morning and stand for prayer. Maybe the Lord will have a word for you, whatever he has. And if you want to go, I suppose you can go eat. And we'll glorify this place and food in Jesus' name. But those that want to come to prayer, just come and give the Lord an opportunity if you feel like this is for you. You need to do this for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you come, praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.